Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody to Dwanza for Life. How's everybody doing? It's a beautiful Thursday afternoon. I'm so glad to have you along with me today. It's truly an honor, a blessing. Again, you could be doing something else, as I always say. And I just want to say, again, thank you. Having trouble getting with my guests, so just hold on tight, okay? And we're going to get them on board again. But I just want to say, while we're getting Coy back, our special guest today is Coy Dunstan. He's owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. He's been a regular guest for, God knows, ever since last year. So since we've been doing the show, we've been having Brother Coy on. And it's just truly, truly a blessing, because with a brother that's got the type of experience that he's got, I mean, we've been talking about holistic health, and he's got a testimony that is out of this world. And if you know anybody that you know is dealing with any sort of ailment, I mean, from a common cold to high blood pressure, low blood pressure, darn near no pressure, I mean, cancer, diabetes, arthritis, whatever it is, gout, tuberculosis, you know, liver disease, kidney disease, it can be cured. It can be cured. And Brother Coy has actually cured his mother of cancer. And I'm going to let him give his testimony. He's owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. Brother Coy, welcome back to Dwanza for Life.
Good evening, Dwanza. Glad to be back with you, and hello to all the audience and the guests in the studio. Good to be back with you.
Truly, truly an honor and a blessing, my brother. Again, anytime I have an opportunity to talk to somebody, sit at somebody's feet that has been, you know, just being a blessing to this planet, actually making the world a better place one person at a time. You know, I mean, when you talk to people that are on their purpose, they know why they're here, they know what God has put them here to do, and they're doing it, and doing it successfully, that's always a treat for me, brother. And again, if we can give the listeners, because we're always getting new listeners, new people are always tuning in. Brother Coy, what got you started on the holistic health path?
Well, as a typical story, I guess, I was faced with a condition that many of us faced in life. My mother was diagnosed with cancer of the breast, the colon, and the liver, and the doctors gave up on it and told her there was nothing they could do for her. And it set me on a journey where I started studying and learning about the body and why we get sick and how we get sick and what we could do to turn it around. So after being in the hospital for maybe a month, the doctors gave my mother the option to take chemotherapy or get out of the hospital. And I happened to be there with her at the time. And she asked me what would I do if I was her. And I told her that I didn't know too many people that had survived chemo. They may be all right for a minute, but the cure was worse than the disease, and I'd probably just get my stuff and go home and sit down and get ready to meet my maker. Mm-hmm. And my mother took my advice, and I that really put the heat on me to really learn about the body and diseases and how we get them and what we can do about them. And I learned that we could, you know, changing the diet was the big one for us. Mm-hmm. And from changing the diet, we went into using the herbs and all the God-given things that God put here for us to heal our bodies. And we learned how to fast. We learned how to we did the praying, the fasting, and all of that. And after about 3 months, the doctors were amazed that she was still alive, much less she was doing better, and they didn't. They saw the cancer was in remission. And after that, I was done. I couldn't believe it myself. And I sat on this road of getting involved with the herbs and the holistic living and learning how to live, learning how to eat to live and all the things that we were never taught or never told. And we started using them, and she continued to get better, and she lived 10 years after that. So after that, I was convinced, and I've been doing this now for about 35 years and haven't regretted a day of it.
You know, Brother Coy, I salute you, because that had to be, with your mother being your very first, I'll say patient, you know, for lack of a better term. I mean, and you were learning as you were working with her. I mean, you were learning.
Yeah.
This was the first to work with. I mean, and for you to now know, here some 35 years later, you know so much more now than you did then. And even with you not knowing even today or back then what you know today, you were still able to witness the power of God through God's food and God's remedies, even on your, when you didn't really know what you were doing. Well, I don't want to even use that. I don't even want to say that you didn't know what you're doing, because you did it. You actually, you were successful, you know. But even for somebody to do something for the very first time, you know, it's like riding a bike. You might be a little wobbly at first, but after a while you get the hang of it and you ride with no hands. Now you're healing with no hands now. But, you know, just back then, for her to be your very first, again, for lack of a better term, patient, and just even the pressure that comes along with that, it's like doing open heart surgery on your mama. You know, if she doesn't make it through the operation, everybody gonna say Coy killed mama. You know what I'm saying? If the herbs didn't work, you know what I mean? People gonna be looking at you like, you know, Coy done killed mama. You know,
and it left me a little conflicted, because I say, if this is what it's about, why don't we know this? Why are we dying of diabetes and cancers and all the things that we die from that's preventable? And I was very conflicted with that, and I had to wrestle with that in addition to trying to learn what I needed to learn. And you almost have to go underground to really learn the stuff that you really need to know, because better word, system, that just is not designed to teach you how to take care of yourself, and you have to recognize that, and that's something you have to take upon yourself and be responsible for yourself, and learn how to do the things that work for people to reverse disease. And it's been a long trip, and people are still locked into this notion that there's nothing they can do. Once the doctor say something, it's like the Bible. You can't go against it, and not understanding that the system is not designed to get you well. The system is designed to keep you sick so that the doctors can continue to make the money they want to make and do what they want to do. In the meantime, it costs you your life, and I've been on this mission to turn that around as best I can for a while now.
And, you know, even that is a heavy piece for a lot of people to grasp. And I'm just starting to grasp it, you know, the fact, you know, even after all these interviews with you, that's how heavy it is, that I'm just starting to grasp it, that these organizations, the organizations that have been set up to supposedly look out for our well-being, you know, the organizations, you know, that we put our trust in, you know, to actually think that it's all a big farce, you know. It's all a big, you know, I want to use the word game because it ain't funny and I don't feel like playing. But, you know, it's like this. It's all a big farce that, you know, oh, the hospitals are here, you go to the hospital, and people's lives are hanging in the balance, you know, as they go to the doctors to get treated. And the nice doctor with the white lab coat comes out, and he might seem appear, and he sit down there and hold your hand, and, you know, he seems so compassionate and caring and understanding, might even cry with you, you know what I mean, as he's sharing the news, you know, we got to give your mama this, or we got to give your father that, or whatever. And
they
all
know
the while,
that what they're giving them is not worth the container that it's in. Whatever they're giving you is going to create more problems somewhere down the line. And they know that. But that's their money, and what you're going to do. You follow the money, you'll see where you are.
That's deep. That's deep. And I think when people really grasp that the doctors have to choose between you, somebody that they don't know, or their money. And so when they're choosing between you, who they don't know, and their money represents people that they do know, their wives, their children, their family, okay, their
and they hide behind this notion that if the technique or the process of healing is not scientifically proven in some way, that they can't they're almost against the law for them to even recommend that you change your diet or you take an herb or something that would be less invasive and less harmful to the body. It would get the job done and get you on the way. But they, by law, are restricted from even talking about that kind of thing. Not as much as they used to be, but it's still pretty prevalent in the medical industry today. They buy all these machines to do all this research, but they can't prove that what they give you is going to help you either, and that's the real problem that we have. It's a hypocritical system.
Mm-hmm. And it seems like a very small network, or maybe it's a large network of cronies who have these. You know, will give you a recommendation. Hey, well, let me write you a recommendation. I know a good doctor over here. He's pretty good. I've been knowing him for years. You know, and he refers you to his boy.
Pass you around.
And his
to
boy,
you,
refers, you know, sends him some. You send me some. I'll send you some. Yeah. We'll both get rich. You know,
that's the system.
Wow.
That is the system.
Well, tonight. Yes. Go ahead, my brother.
Well, it's the system that we're in, and I feel that people are waking up to it, and they're beginning to accept the fact that there are other ways to do things, and people are coming, I think, to realization that they can take better care of themselves than maybe the system that's designed that's been designed to assist them through their disease. But again, we have to understand that. It's not the doctor that's going to change the system. The medical system is not going to change. The people are going to have to change, and they're going to have to educate themselves a lot about what's going on with their body when the doctor gives them a diagnosis and makes some determination about what they want to do about it. And they can and still have the right to do that. They can decide how they want to treat themselves or not treat themselves, and they have to be able to exercise that with some educated information that will guide them through the process, and that's basically all it is, and that's what I try to do is to guide people into the information they need to make the decision on their own.
Well, you know, you said something, brother. You said people are going to have to educate themselves, and that's very, very true, and that means people, everybody listening, you're going to have to read, and there is a saying that, and I love it, and the saying is that a person who won't read is no better off than the person that can't read, okay? So I'll repeat it. The person who won't read is no better off than the person who can't read, all right?
Or hear the truth and then don't act on it. That's the other side of it,
The person that read and don't act on what they know.
Yeah. Then they
no
don't act
worse
on
than the person who doesn't either.
Who don't, never heard it or don't know it, yes.
Absolutely.
That's where we are.
Well, Brother Court, tonight specifically we're going to talk about you are what you eat. Okay, this is going to be a very powerful interview. That's a very powerful statement. You are what you eat. My brother, take it away.
Well, we have to start with you are what you eat because that's what you are. You are what you eat. And if you put garbage in, you're going to get garbage out. But what to eat has been a big issue around what is it that we should be eating? We have been given certain foods to eat, but it doesn't mean that that's the best food to eat. And that's why we have to study to learn what your body really needs. And when we start giving the body what it needs, we find that we have a lot less disease or problems when we begin to feed the body what it needs. So if you're at a place now where you want to maybe make that decision, you're making the decision to do something different, and you got to do something different. You can't keep doing the same thing and expecting a different result. So you got to do something different, and in order to do that, you have to know what you need to do. So we have to learn that we can't eat too much of the animal fat. We can't eat a lot of animal fat. We can't eat a lot of sugar, and we can't eat a lot of dairy products because our body just cannot digest them. And when we eat them, it causes inflammation in our bodies, and that inflammation turns into disease or cancer or arthritis or whatever you want to call it. It all comes from the same thing. And the first step you want to do is start cleaning up your diet. Now, cleaning up the diet is important, and if that takes care of your problem, then you have done what you set out to do, and you can rest on that. But once you change the diet, or if you can't change the diet, or if you don't know how to change the diet, that's when you need to get some help or do some studying in terms of little things that you may be doing that may be causing you to have the diseases that you have. So you have to. We know now that diabetes comes from a lot of it. We believe that it came from eating too much sugar. Too much sugar is a problem, but most everything we eat turns to sugar. So we have to be careful in terms of, if you have diabetes, you can't eat fruit or something like that. You don't want to go there. There are some fruits you can eat, and it is recommended sometimes that you have a piece of fruit to get your blood sugar under control. But once you understand the diabetes basically comes from the breakdown in the pancreas, and the pancreas is the function of the pancreas is to let us know or to decide what to do with the food that we eat. So if we're eating something or too much of something or something that's not agreeing with the body, the pancreas will just overwork and overwork and overwork and overwork until you break it down into it breaks the kidney down, and then it goes into your circulation system, and your heart attacks come from that, and it goes around in a circle. That's where we are stuck. That's where most of our diseases come from, is eating wrong. So if we can learn how to eat right, we can stop and learn how to take care of the pancreas or repair the pancreas so that it functions and do what it's supposed to do, then we will find that the body will respond and we will have a much better energy level and feel a lot better and avoid or prevent diseases. That's what disease prevention is about, and that's where I try to take people. No dairy, no sugar, no meat, no white flour, no white rice. All of that stuff just clogs up the body, creates inflammation, and that inflammation leads to some disease. Sometimes it shows up as diabetes. Sometimes it shows up as heart problems. Sometimes it shows up as high blood pressure. It doesn't matter what you call it. It all comes from the same thing. And once we understand that, I think we will be a lot better off in terms of learning how to take care of our body in a way that it will serve us well.
You know, brother, as I listened to you and you were talking about the role of the pancreas and so forth, the different roles of the kidneys and so forth, you know, I was very impressed because I'm like, wow, you know, that's what I'm talking about. Being able to know yourself. The ancient Egyptians had a quote, you know, man, know thyself.
Know thyself,
you know.
That's right. Yeah,
and we spend a lot of time, those of us who believe in God and have a concept of God, regardless of by what name you call God, but we spend a lot of time dealing with the spiritual aspect in our lives, trying to become better people, you know, trying to live right, trying to, do good to our fellow man and women. But when it comes to the body, you know, the vehicle that we live in, that houses our soul and spirit, you know, which is going to keep us here for a long time, hopefully, You know, it's our house. It's our spirit. It houses our spirit. You know, we know very little about that, and we leave that information, that knowledge, up to somebody else, and we'll say, you know, run to the hospital. Hey, tell me about my heart. You know, tell me. Right. I think I got a problem, and the doctor has a liver or whatever. But you know, as I listened to you break down the different functions in there, you know, the different organs and their functions, I was impressed with that, and I'm like thinking to myself, man, I need to learn more and study more. You know what I mean, about that. And I would encourage all of the listeners to do the same, because that information is important. It's your house. It's your spiritual house. So you need to know what is going to, you know, what needs what foods are good for this, what foods not to eat, what foods that if you do eat will break down the liver, what foods if you do eat will affect the kidneys, you know. Welcome to all of the listeners online. They're coming in. I want to say hi to Ma. She's tuned in again, Brother Coy. Hi to Queen Renee, I believe that is. And whoever else is online, again, if you have a question, anybody, if you have a question, all you have to do is just press 1, and I will bring you on, and you can ask your question. Okay? Okay, that's my Aunt Peggy. Good afternoon, my sister. Also, Quinn, let's talk about processed foods. Okay? Yeah. What are – I don't want to assume that everybody knows what processed foods are. Okay? Somebody might be tuning in, and this might be Holistic Health 101. Okay? Yeah. What are processed foods, and why should we stay away from them?
Well, processed foods are usually foods that man have tried to make to for us to eat. Anything that's man-made is generally processed. And when you eat a processed food, it your pancreas doesn't know what to do with it, because it's not recognizing it as a food. It's something like junk. And so the pancreas has to do something with it, so it sticks it on the walls of your colon, or it sticks it in your arteries, or it sticks it somewhere out of the way and trying to find the decent food that we should be eating. And what happens is it shuts the body down, and your body starts backing up, and that's when your colon start becoming an issue. Because if your colon doesn't get enough fiber or enough vegetables to make it work properly, you'll find that if your colon is not working, everything shuts down and everything's beginning to back up, and that again adds to the condition that you might have now, because you got all this garbage stuck on your walls. This is called processed foods, and your body don't know what to do with it, so it's just sitting there taking up space and draining your body of the energy and the energy that you need to function properly. So it shuts down your brain, shuts down your colon, everything begin to shut down. And that's when you are going into a deeper stage of disease. And if you don't learn how to reverse it, you know, the doctor can give you a pill, and even though the pill is not going to help you, it may make you feel better for a minute. But eventually the same problem is going to come if you don't change the diet, if you don't start drinking the water that you need to drink, if you don't start doing the exercise that you need to do, your body still will fall back into a state of disease that may be even worse, or even lead to a stroke or heart attack or one of the major causes of death that we suffer from. So processed foods is the main thing we need to learn what it is, number one. It's anything that's man-made, and if you eat it, that includes like chips or bags of chips or anything that's in a package. It's a processed food. And if you eat that, there's no life in it, and your body can't get any energy from it. So you're going to find yourself falling into a state of disease, and you'll find yourself with conditions that you won't be able to overcome if you don't change that diet.
Well, let me ask you a question, and it sounds like it's probably going to sound like a silly question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. And that question is this, because I know, first of all, let me state, because I don't want the listeners to think I'm crazy. I know you can't live forever. Okay, I already know that. I know that man cannot live forever. But you take somebody that's a vegetarian or even a vegan from birth. They've never had any poisons into their system, you know, and whatever poisons they may get from the environment, you know, just from the air that they breathe or whatever, they cleanse that out, you know, they do the herbs and, you know, they cleanse it out. Why doesn't man live longer? because if, you know, I mean, it seems like the longest, the oldest I've heard somebody living is like maybe 120 some years old. But if, and they might have been eating meat, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and they so might smoke it and all that, yeah.
But, drink, you know?
Yeah, drink.
So if you take somebody who's never done any of these things, and, you know, because I'm wondering, I know, again, you can't live forever, but you would think that the lifespan would be a bit longer, you know, than what it is if, you know, we give the body what it needs, add exercise into it as well. You know, it just seems like, why do you think that, is that a set thing, do you know? I mean, is that a set, like, okay, man, you're not going to get to 150, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think the problem is that we have this thing called stress. And I think most people live in a world where they are really not doing what they want to do. And that's stress. Mm-hmm. And over time, that stress will build up and be just as bad as not eating properly. Even if you're eating properly, if you're under stress, your body is going to break down. So we got to deal with this thing, the lifestyle that you got to live. And you have to make a place in your life that you can live in a way that you can rest, number one, get your 8 hours of sleep a day. Number two, that you can eat right. Number three, that you can take a break when you need it. Go get away, forget everything, and have space to, even if you're in a high-stress environment, if you can take a day off every week or so, you're going to find that you'll be able to handle the stress a little better. Now, that's where your supplements come in to help you handle the stress and to reduce the effects of the stress on the body. But when your lifestyle does not allow you to take a time off or do the things that you want to do, to have money to have a vacation, to have a mate that you can get along with, when your lifestyle don't allow that, you're under a lot of stress, and that can be just as deadly as not eating properly.
Good point. And I think that's a good answer, because I think a lot of times even people who are vegans, vegetarians, you know, fruitarians, you know, we still have to deal with what we have to deal with, the issues of life, you know.
Right.
And even if you're eating right, just the issues of life if you're not in a position, or if you don't know that your nature is peace, you know, and that you can actually meditate and do things to actually calm your spirit and to look at a bigger picture, you know, and to see some things that you might not ordinarily think about, you know, looking at things from a spiritual perspective instead of just everything being physical, what I can see, taste, hear, touch, and smell, you know, then, you know, that can relieve, you know, some of that stress. Brother Quinn, let's talk about meat, all right, because, again, there may be some people out here that are listening to the broadcast that are either in the process of making the transition from eating meat to a meatless plant-based diet, you know, or, you know, they just coming to this information for the first time, and they, you know, say again, you know, my grandmama, she lived to be 105, and she ate meat, drank, smoked, you know what I mean, and, you know, died in her sleep, you know. So what's wrong with eating meat? What are the effects of meat?
Well, that's an ever-evolving question. Meat today is not like the meat was 50 years ago. The meat today is grown in an environment that's stressful for the animal. And when you eat that meat, that stress transfers right into you. They grow them in these big slaughterhouses, and they just they take them out, and they use the electrical prods on them. They do all kind of things to them. Even when they're sick, they still kill them and cut them up and put them in the supermarkets. So the meat today, unless you are growing it yourself or you know who grew it, you are taking a risk when you eat anything with eyes. You have to really know where it comes from now, because the world is so polluted. So you got to watch the fish that you eat. The animals are slaughtered in a way and given so many antibiotics and so much medication until that transfers right into your children, and that's why you got a lot of these young girls now with look like grown women. And it's just another way to get these drugs into you, and these drugs have an adverse effect on the body, and it speeds up the deterioration of the body in a way that leads to disease. So eating meat, if you have to eat it, you have to really look and see where it's coming from. Just don't go to the store and buy a chicken. In fact, you really need to drop chicken. It's been proven that it's carcinogenic, and we still can't get enough of it. And if you're going to eat meat, you have to really read the labels. If it's not on the label, you have to ask the questions. And particularly if you have a family, you have to make sure that you're giving them the best meat that's out there to get. But at this point, I just say forget it. Don't even try to bother with that because it just gets too convoluted and the labeling you can't really trust. And even though it's in the supermarket, you don't know when they killed it or how long it's been laying around and all of that. So you have to really get into a lot of technical information if you want to eat meat and be safe with it. And I know we say, well, my mama ate meat, and I've been eating meat, my grandmama ate meat. But, again, that meat, a lot of the meat that your grandmother is eating or did eat, it was grown. She went out in the backyard, and she'd get a chicken and or go out in the pen and kill a pig, and they fed it. They know what that pig was eating. They didn't give it antibiotics, and they didn't give you any sick meat. So it's a lot of reasons why we shouldn't eat meat, but the main reason is that we don't know where it comes from and we don't know what's in it, and most of the time it's been around too long to even be considered as food.
Well, let me ask you this, and by the way, caller, I see you. I'm coming to you. I just want to ask Corey this question just to pick up on this thought. Now, is there any benefit to eating meat, though? We know why we shouldn't eat it, but is there any upside to it? Because we know that there are different places for those who say, well, I can, you know, I need meat for protein. I got to eat the beef for the protein. You know, well, we know that there are other places that an individual can get protein. So would you say that there is any upside to eating meat? Was there any benefit to it when there are other places that we can get the nutrients that we need?
I would say for African people, you gotta say no. Again, if you're growing the food yourself and you know what it's been eating and you know that it's safe, maybe. But for the most part, none of us really know that. We don't own the factories. We don't own the farms. We don't own anything that has to do with the food supply. So we have this problem with what are we eating, and who can really give us the real truth on it. And because this meat industry is so big and they can advertise and tell you whatever they want to tell you, even if it's a lie, it's going to be hard for me to say that there's an upside to meat. Now, it's particularly for African people. Now, some people, they can eat anything, and you can see them on TV going all over the world finding these exotic things they can eat, and, you know, they can do that. But we are from a climate that's based in plants, and we need to stay with that. Our original food came from a plant-based diet, and we need to stay on a plant-based diet if we want to have give our body the best opportunity to stay healthy.
Okay. Well, caller, let's go. We got a call, Brother Coy. Looks like Ma, 3349, you're on the air with Brother Coy Dunstan. Thank you for tuning in.
Yes, hi. I'm glad to be back on the air again. And
I'm
my
glad
question,
to hear you here.
Yes. My question is, I have a scenario. Unlike the situation with your mom, I find that most people do want to live, and they want to live a healthy life. But what happens when a person goes to the doctor, they've eaten or they've done all these things, they got this diagnosis, and the first factor that comes in is fear. Unlike your scenario, they may not have the resources that you had. What would be your advice to that person, the first thing to do? Because that's when we come in and make quick decisions, and they're the wrong decisions.
Yes.
So for a person that doesn't have the resources like your mom had with you, what would be your advice to that person, the first thing to do?
Well, I know what you're saying. You go to the doctor, and the first thing they do is fill you full of fear. They say, if you don't do what I tell you to do, you're going to die. And that's kind of hard to accept in terms of doing something different. And that's where you really have to have a spiritual side to yourself, and you really have to get into it and listen to your body and ask the question, what should I do, and listen for the answer from above or from your God. And that don't cost you anything. You have to just do that. And once you get through that process, oftentimes that's when you you really need to fast through that process, because that's when you really, your antennas go up and you can really hear what the universe is trying to tell you. And that is the place you need to start. Never make a decision out of fear. And when you do that, it's wrong. So you have to be, you have to go to yourself, go to your spiritual self, because your physical self is going to always tell you, I'm going to die, I'm going to die, I'm going to die. So you have to go to your spiritual self, and you have to listen to your spiritual self and begin to do some of the things that don't cost you anything, like fasting. If you don't have a juicer, start eating raw. Eat raw foods. Go out in your field, find stuff. Or if you go to the supermarket, stay away from the meat section and go to the vegetable section and eat as much raw as you can there. And if you can't eat raw, steam it or cook it or whatever you need to do to it so you can eat it. And if you're alive, if you're still living, you got to eat, so you have to decide how you want to spend the money that you have to eat with. And if you spend the money that you want to eat with on vegetables or a plant-based diet, I say vegetables, fruits, seeds, nuts, raisins, you'll find that in itself will give you some relief from or give you some time to get over the fear or get over the unknown or what you don't know. The doctor say one thing, but the doctor's not God, and what he say is not the truth all the time. So you have to to yourself and ask yourself, what is the truth and what should I do? And the universe will give you an answer if you ask that question. Ask and you say, I'll receive.
Okay.
Preach.
Thank you.
Yes.
If you have another question, just raise your hand, and we'll bring you back on. Again, to the callers, all you have to do is just press 1 and we'll bring you on board. Thank you so much for tuning in. My special guest today is Brother Coy Dunstan. Okay, Brother Coy, we got another caller with a question. 4356, you're on the air with Coy Dunstan. Welcome to Juwanza for Life.
Hi. Question about the expense of eating right.
Mm-hmm.
It's very expensive to eat right, especially if you're feeding a family of even 3 or 4.
Mm-hmm.
So what would be some of your go-to things that could help eat right but still kind of keep you within your budget?
Well, you may not be able to go out and get the best of everything, but stay basic. Stay with the basic foods, the grains, nuts, seeds, potatoes. I mean, grains, nuts, seeds, fruits, and vegetables. Sometimes that's the cheapest things you can buy. What you have to watch out for is the things that you are eating now. And determine how much you're spending on what you're eating now and see what you can do to transfer that into a plant-based diet. Now, if you got a family that's just got to eat meat or got to have meat, that's where you all need to sit down around the table and you need to have a discussion about what you're eating and why you need to change, and this is what we're going to do for a while. And if you learn how to use the nuts and seeds and grains, all of those kind of things, you can make it taste like meat if you take the time to learn how to do that. We have a lot of vegetable-based meats now that are just as good, if not better, tasting than the regular meat. Now, sometimes that may cost a little more, but, you know, try getting sick if you want to say something called that.
Yeah.
True.
And, you know, one of the go-to staples have always been the white potatoes. And I hear you say stay away from the white things, you know, the rices and the white rices and the white food. So,
well, I say the processed stuff, yeah, primarily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
the
even
white
potatoes
white
would be fine for you?
I think the white potato is an excellent food myself, but the thing is how we fix it. When we finish with it, we got gravy on it, we got butter on it, we got salt on it, we got all this stuff. So you may have to maybe change the way you fix the potato, but if you just take the potato, cut it up in little piece, pieces or whatever, and just boil it, and then you may be able to find some kind of seasoning like a garlic or onion or something to give it a flavor. And you
right.
find just stay away from all this butter and the salt and the other stuff that we dump on the potato that makes it bad. So, we just have to learn how to train the palate so that we can eat those things.
Mm-hmm. I started doing that for myself because I've gotten to a relatively healthy stage
Good.
In my life.
Good.
And I said, while I'm healthy, I'm trying to promote that health by doing a better job at my diet.
That's the biggest challenge, is learning how to eat.
Mm-hmm. Because everything is so convenient. All the prepared meals and all those things that we've fallen victim to.
You can just go to the store and get a pack and throw it in the microwave and it's eating in 5 minutes. That's very convenient, and they make it that way. But that's not the best way to eat. So we have to just make up our mind that for the sake of yourself and your family, that we're going to at least have half of our meals prepared from scratch. And I know that may be difficult, but you may have a day or two off that you can prepare something. You know, you can cut up a case of greens and cook them and steam them and put them in the refrigerator, and they'll last you a good week or so.
Right.
You just eat on them every day. So things like that, just being simple stuff. Don't make it difficult. Keep it simple. And there's so many greens that you can eat. And you don't have – oftentimes you don't even have to cook them. You can just eat them raw.
Right.
But You just a little vinegar, a little Bragg's liquid amino or something to give it a little flavor, and you can eat it raw. But, again, just keep it simple. Don't make it difficult, and just stay with the basics, the grains, nuts, seeds, fruits, and vegetables.
Okay.
And I put vegetables last because a lot of the vegetables are really not food. They are man-made, and they are processed. So you have to be careful with the vegetables that you eat find out where did it come from. Is it something that somebody in a lab made up and they planted it and they feed it because that was easy for them to do? You have to find out what is a natural plant. That's why I like the herbs, because we know that they have not been contaminated by man, and they are, and you can eat them in their dry state or in their fresh state, how you want to eat them, you can do that. It's just a matter of finding them or knowing what they look like when you see them, or being able to go out into your backyard or something and say, oh, that's some mint. I think I can take some of that and add it to my potatoes and maybe give me another flavor. So it's not difficult. It's just that it takes some effort to learn how to do it and to perfect it. The first time it may not taste good, but if you keep working with it and working with it, you'll find that you have the ability to make it taste like what you want it to taste like. And you can make it a lot easier for your family to sit down and have that conversation with you.
Well, what's an indicator to let you know that a vegetable is not a real plant vegetable? It's something that's genetically made or whatever?
That's a very good question. where you have to go to do that, you're going to have to do the research. You're going to have to go in. Dr. Sabe is known for saying that we need to eat more plants, and he gives a list of plants on his website you can eat, or he has some literature that you can get. But oftentimes you can just, the Internet now, everybody has the Internet, and you can go on and just research where did this plant come from, and was it man-made, or was it sort of a hybrid, or is it an herb? And you'll find that the information is there. You just have to dig a little to get it. They haven't done a good job of teaching us how to eat, and we have to teach ourselves, and it takes a little bit of effort to really you can just, probably on the Internet, just go on and find a list of the natural foods that you can eat from a number of sites. You could probably pull that up and stay in that family. And a lot of them may not even be available in this country. But if you look for them, oftentimes you can find them. It's just that they don't have them in the supermarkets.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That one got me.
Queen Renee, awesome questions you have. Again, if you have any other questions, all you got to do is just press 1, and I can bring you back on. I'm sorry, I don't want to. Did you have other questions?
No, I'm good now. Blown on that last one, because I never thought of vegetables being hybrid and not being natural vegetables.
Well, that's why they call them vegetables. They're hybrids. They're not natural plants. They're man-made. And it's just it was just so that they make them that way, or they call them vegetables because they have no. They are synthetic. They are hybrids. They are crossed between two different plants or something, or some plant that someone made up in a laboratory, and they cross it with something else, like a carrot. A carrot is a hybrid. Another way to determine whether or not it's a food is a good food to eat is whether it's acid or alkaline, and you can find information on that too. If the food is acid, you just put in a search engine acid foods, and a whole list of them will come up. That's what you want to stay away from. You can put in alkaline foods, and a whole list to come up. That's where you want to stay, or you want to stay more alkaline than acid.
All right, I've learned something tonight.
Good.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your call.
All right, thank you.
Okay, peace and blessings. Messing around listening to you and Queen Renata made me hungry. Corey Tombo with potatoes with gravy. And
well, I guess we can have the gravy, but a little bit of gravy, but just there. Try not to put no ham hocks in it, that's all.
I'll try. I'm going to see you too.
I hear you.
Brother Corey, let's talk about heavy metals. Again, heavy metals, that's a piece that a lot of people aren't too keen on. What are heavy metals as it relates to, when people think of heavy metal, they might think of a rock band or something, But when it comes to your diet, or as I like to use the word, live it, what role do heavy metals play in either our optimal wellness or our disease? Yeah.
Well, a lot of that comes out of the environment, and that's why we have such a problem with this global warming. It's so conflicting with people. But the coal plants, the oil that we burn, the synthetic fuels that we use, when that burn, it releases all kind of stuff in the air. I guess one of the major ones is mercury, and you do not want mercury in your body at any time. Well, out of balance. You don't want it to be out of balance. But a lot of the air that we breathe, a lot of mercury is in it. A lot of the food that we eat, a lot of mercury is in it. And that's why this whole push for organic. But the organic, that's another whole show. But when we talk about eating heavy metals, it comes from oftentimes meat. It comes from some of the foods that we eat, the air that we breathe. And it is an ever-ongoing problem that we sometimes got to be, we may not be fully aware of it in a way that we can benefit from it. But just brushing your teeth, most of the toothpaste that you buy or that's advertised has mercury in it. Deodorant has mercury in it. So particularly women, when they put that deodorant under their arm, it goes right into the soft breast tissue. And that's why we have a lot of breast cancer. So mercury is one of the ones you want to be most concerned with. Now, fish, most of the fish that you eat is going to be filled with mercury because all that mercury goes right into the ocean, and that's what the fish is eating. So you have to be careful of the heavy metals that we get from the environment. A lot of the places that we live in are right over the most polluted part of the city. They put us in the area where the stacks are high and all this burning and all this pollution comes right over our neighborhoods, and we get it that way. And then a lot of the houses that we live in still have lead in it, and that lead will lead to all kind of problems in terms of mental functions, your brain. It really messes with your brain. But it's in the environment, and there are ways to combat it. You can have these things like diodes. They call them diodes. You can put everything that you eat through a diode, and you'll find that it'll pull a lot of that stuff down out of it. But you just have to be careful in terms of what you're eating, unless you got a lab where you can dissect everything that you're eating to determine what's in it. Chances are you're going to get some heavy metals in your body over your life. So you want to stay with things that has in themselves, and most natural herbs or plants has the ability to deflect or even grow through those things, and you want to make sure you eat the plants that have the best immune system to protect you and the plant from ingesting or accumulating that toxicity in your system to create the problems that we get with the brain. I think a lot of that comes, Alzheimer's comes from it, and a lot of the brain function, when you get into heavy metals, it comes out of eating that kind of food. It's just another thing that you have to research and study and determine who can tell you what is the mercury level and where is it coming from, what's in the environment. All of those things is why we need to be politically active and make people give us those answers in a way that we can use them and keep from killing ourselves and our families.
You know, Brother Coy, you mentioned the fish and the mercury in the fish, and you mentioned earlier in this discussion that you tend to recommend that people stay away from anything with eyes. I throw parents in there, anything with a mama and a daddy. I ain't messing with it, you know what I mean? Eyes of parents, I ain't fooling with it. But even as it relates to just the fish, even, because there are a lot of people that say they don't view fish as meat, you know what I mean? And you'll ask them, you know, they say, oh, well, I don't eat meat, but I eat a little fish every now and then, you know what I mean? Like fish and meat are two separate things or whatever. So when you say any fish, you mean
chicken
fish too. Fish got eyes, everybody. So you're telling them you would stay away from fish.
Unless you have a breakdown of everything that's in that fish, I would. You have to. Nowadays, they most places, most most of the better supermarkets, they will have some kind of indication on the label in terms of where it comes from and what's the level of mercury that's in it. I think it's mandated now that they do that. But you have to read the label and make sure that that label is correct, because sometimes the label is kind of confusing and you really don't know what it is after you read it. But, you want to, particularly fish, you want to be careful of the ones that particularly accumulate a lot of mercury. The tunas come to mind right off the top of my head. Tunas notorious for accumulating mercury, and I know we all like tuna salad, but
but I like being well better.
there you go.
Well, Brother Coy, can we talk about sugar? You know, that's a big piece, you know, as it relates to, you know, our optimal wellness. And, you know, we got to talk about sugar. People know and have heard that sugar is not good for you. You know, you got to cut back on sugar. Of course, it causes diabetes or eliminate it altogether. But people even have looked to alternatives. What about brown sugar or these sugar substitutes like stevia raw sugar?
Yeah, I like to go back to the Garden of Eden and with the forbidden fruit. Remember, they call it the forbidden fruit. So I think once you start eating the fruit, you stimulate your taste for sweet stuff, and it leads you into eating anything that's sweet. And we tend to lean more to the sweet stuff and instead of eating the grains, nuts, and seeds. And that sugar that we eat, It depletes the body of vitamins and minerals that it needs for your brain to function properly. It also interferes with your absorption of fiber, and it makes your digestive system stop working. And it also goes to your brain, and it's like the first drug. I call it the first drug. We love to give little children candy, and I think that's the worst thing in the world we could do. Because it trains them to eat that candy, and that candy, right away, you see them change. It affects their nervous system in a way where they go out of control. And from there, they say they graduate to the heavier drugs that might cause them to get more even crazier, so if there's such a word. The sugar is the first poison, and if we learn how to tame that sugar taste, it's going to help us in the long run in terms of being able to avoid a lot of the diseases that we get in the brain and in the nervous system and not being able to sleep, or all the things that we have in terms of the effect that it has on the nervous system, we'll find that will lessen and we can eat more the big problem is calcium is what's supposed to keep our nervous system fed, and if we eat too much sugar, it just destroys the nervous system. And that's really the problem, sugar. And we eat so much of it until everything has sugar in it. They put sugar in meat now. They put sugar in the vegetables. They put sugar in everything. So you have to really learn how to read the label, and the first thing you may want to look at is the amount of sugar in it. And if it's too much sugar or more than a gram or two, you may want to try some other alternative or just go with the plain fruits and vegetables along that line. But the processed sugars you really want to stay away from. But when we talk about sugar, it's a good, better, best. We know that a lot of people don't want honey because it is, they say it's from an animal, but we know that honey is the first medicine. It's very healing. It's full of vitamins and minerals and everything the body needs. So honey would be on the list of sugars you can eat if you don't have a problem with diabetes or something like that, or if you want to eat a honey, you might want to go to the raw honey. The white sugar, or white refined sugar, you really want to stay away from that, and I think that's the culprit here because the white refined sugar is in most everything. They put it in everything, and they also put salt in it, and both of those things mess with the nervous system and the circulatory system and the digestive system. So we have to be careful of the white processed sugar. And then you have the maple syrup, which is, I would say, up around the top. And then we have the stevia, which is from a plant, and it's supposed to be so many times sweeter than sugar. But some people don't like the aftertaste that it leaves. Or some of the best stevia may cost more, and you may not want the aftertaste that it leaves with you. But if you get the right stevia, or the agave is another one, A-G-A-V-E, is another sugar, and it supposedly not affect the glycemic index, which means the blood sugar. It doesn't affect your blood sugar. And those would be probably in the order of sugars that I would recommend if you have to eat sugar. Stay with the plant-based sugars, the ones from agave, from the maple tree, and then maybe look at the honey. If you have to use the honey, use it medicinally to address a condition or to heal your body. And then the last one would be the white refined processed sugars.
Well, you know, Coy, I'm going to tell you something. Something must be wrong with my taste buds. Because, you know, they say, you mentioned stevia, they say that stevia is like 300 times sweeter than sugar.
Yeah.
it is not no 300 times as sweet as sugar. I'd be putting stevia packs in the stuff in the tea, and I'm like, sweet or what?
But you have to maybe look around. There are different kinds of stevia, and you may find one that may be better than what you've had. And it's just a lot of this. You just have to try different ones, and oftentimes the better ones will cost more. So okay. you may have to gradually go there or learn how to reduce your dependency on sugar to the point to where you don't really need it.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've got about 5 minutes left, and so I definitely want to ask this question, Brother Coy. What vitamins do vegetarians definitely need to have? Because there's sometimes, you know, people say that, you know, vegetarians don't get enough vitamin D or vitamin B12 or iron or protein. What vitamins do you, or minerals do you feel that vegetarians definitely need to make sure that if you're going to be a vegetarian or a vegan, what supplements do they need to take to make sure that they get this stuff?
Well, one of the reasons why they say we should eat meat is because it's the only source of B6 and B12. But nowadays, you can get B6 and B12 in a sublingual form where it would go directly into your bloodstream and feed the body what you need. So as a vegetarian, you want to make sure that you get your B6 and your B12 in a way that you can assimilate it and it's doing you some good. Oftentimes, you may have to actually go and get a vitamin breakdown of your body's blood and see if you're getting the right amount of B12 or B6. And if not, I would first try to do it with the supplement taking the supplements, and sometimes you have to play with that because all supplements are not equal. You may have to find one that that's made from something that you can assimilate, like B12. There are two kinds, metabobinol, something like that, and cobobinol. The cobobinol, it can't break the blood-brain barrier, so as a vegetarian, it probably wouldn't do you much good. So you want to stay with the metabobinol, B12, in order to be able to break it down and digest it and get it into the blood-brain barrier where you need it. And I would say that if you can keep your B12 and B6 balance straight, everything else will probably be okay.
Okay, and iron. What about iron?
Iron is the kind of iron. Most of the iron that's available, you can't assimilate it or break it down anyway. It comes out of the soil, and you want to, I think it's called a ferrous iron that you need. I know Dr. Sabi is strong on that. We are not getting the right kind of iron. But I know Nature's Plus, I think, makes something called Hemoplex. And Dr. Sabi has a formula called, the liquid one that he makes.
Bolo? Is it the Bolo? I remember I used to get his supplement.
A new one now. He was here last week, and he introduced a new form of iron, and he sold out everything he had, but iron is important in terms of getting the right kind of iron. Now, if you're a man and you're taking an iron supplement, that's not a good idea because they're finding that the iron that we generally take, unless your body can assimilate it, it can lead to prostate problems. And that may be one of the reasons that we get so much prostate problem as black men, is because the iron that we're getting is just not the right kind of iron, and it affects the prostate. So, in fact, now if you look at a man's vitamin, most of them will not have iron in it, and that's why, because the iron that they put in it is not the one that your body can really use, and it creates other problems with the prostate. There's a lot of information out there about iron, and you just have to look and find the one that your body can assimilate, and you'll find that you'll get a much better. It's just a necessary mineral, and we need to take it in a way that our body can use it. And when we get the wrong kind of iron, it's going to create all the problems that we don't necessarily want to have. So, yeah, we want to stay with the iron, but we want to make sure that it's assimilable and it's not building up in the body, creating some other problem.
What about chelated iron? Are you familiar with
chelated,
that?
Chelated, supposed to be predigested. But even the chelated iron is still not the source that it comes from. It's still not, your body can't assimilate it. You may be able to break it down in the system, but your body can't use it because it's not a natural iron. So you want iron that's from the plant. You can get certain herbs that are higher in iron, and you can get other natural forms of iron that you will be able to assimilate that won't cause a problem. But if you are taking a supplement off the shelf for iron, you want to make sure that it's not one that you can't digest. You want to be able to make sure that it's assimilable in the body. So you want to take some extra effort to find the right kind of iron.
So would plants like burdock, yellow dog, herbs like burdock, yellow dog, red clover, and dandelion, would they be high in iron?
I would say so. That particularly yellow dog would be a good one. Yellow dog has been found helpful in terms of skin problems that comes from iron deficiencies, and it's also been found useful in people with itchy skin. You take something like yellow dog, and that really relieves that a lot. You want to learn the plants with iron in it. And most every herb will have some iron in it. And you can do a research and find the ones with the highest iron if you really want to take iron, and you can take that, add that to your diet as you feel you need to take it, and you'll see that you might have more energy, stamina, endurance, that kind of stuff.
Okay, cool. I know we went a couple minutes over time. But last question, protein. What's a good source of protein?
Well, I say we really don't need protein. Once you are weaned from your mother's breast, and all children should be weaned from their mother's breast, you really have no use for protein. If you get all the other stuff that you need, you will get enough protein. If you eat your vegetables, if you eat you eat from a plant-based diet, you will get plenty of protein. I don't think you really need to necessarily add protein to your diet if you're eating right. So protein is something that really one of the reasons why we build up to this disease state, because we get too much protein and the body don't know what to do with it, and then you begin to get the protein in the liver and protein in the kidney and all that kind of stuff, and you don't want that. So try to keep your protein in your diet from the foods that you eat, and try not to add any more protein. Now, if you are working out or if you're very athletic or something, you may need a little extra protein to hold your muscles up, but you got to remember that once you get those muscles up, they got to come down, and that is hard for them to come down and maintain the elasticity and the form of the muscle if you stop eating the protein. So it's almost like you're on a road to you see all these bodybuilders and football players, they die early. That's because they have too much protein in their system, and their body can't process it, and it begins to overload all the other organs, and it just takes you out. So that's my spiel on protein. It's not necessary to add it if you're eating properly.
If you're eating properly, you're going to get it, just like with you. When you get the water, you're going to get the wet. So if you're eating properly, you're going to get the protein with your plant-based diet. Brother Coy, this has been an awesome, awesome interview. I want to make sure that the listeners know how to get in contact with you. If they have questions, if they're in the Washington, D.C. area, or if you're going to be in the Washington, D.C. area, you definitely want to stop by Secrets of Nature. That's Coy's establishment. If you've never tried a vegetarian dish, or if you've ever tried a vegetarian dish and you know that it's delicious and you need a place to go when you're in D.C., where to go get some vegetarian food, and or if you have questions, you're across this globe and you've got questions about, you know, everything that you've heard Brother Coy say today. Brother Coy, can you please give your information for our listeners?
I'm at my address is 3923 South Capitol Street Southwest. 3923 South Capitol Street Southwest, Washington, D.C. 20032 is the area code. Phone number 202-562-0041. If you call and want me to call you back, don't get an answer, just leave a message. I'll call you back, and we can talk about whatever's on your mind.
And I want to encourage the listeners to give Brother Coy a call if you've got questions. Please, your hours of operation, Brother Coy. So if they have questions, they just want to, you know, give you a call just to speak with you. They don't want to talk about it on the air, but they need some recommendations.
8 to 6, I'm usually in the store. And sometimes I'll take a day off. But if you leave a message, I'll get back with you as soon as I can, and we can continue the conversation. But if you're ever in the area, come through between 8 and 6, and you should catch me. I'm not there on Sunday. Sometimes I'm there on Saturday, and sometimes I might take a day off during the week or something if I got something to do. But I'm accessible. Just call, and I can just as close as the nearest phone call.
All right, Brother Coy. Thank you, my brother. Thank you, my brother. Thank you, my brother. As always,
I appreciate
brother,
you, sir.
You broke it down again. Ladies and gentlemen, that's King Coy Dunstan. I mean, he's our resident holistic health guru. I mean, we go to Coy if we got questions, and my recommendation would be that you do too. Before you go to the doctor, you need to call Coy. And definitely after you go to the doctor, before you do anything the doctor, you need to call Coy. 202 562-0041, owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. Closing remarks, my brother.
I look to hear from your people, and I'd say we got to study, we got to study, we got to study.
Awesome. Again, Ma, thank you for tuning in. Queen Renee, thank you for tuning in. Aunt Peggy, thank you for tuning in. Want to say hi to everybody at Healthy 247, all of the different blogs and pages that I'm a part of. Thank you so much for tuning in. We definitely appreciate you, and I know that you're glad you have tuned in as well. If you're not sick, you know somebody who is, tell them to give Corey a call. We love you. Talk to you soon. Thanks for tuning in.
Peace.
Have a great evening. Peace.